This is the English translation of the message delivered by Pastor Hon on November 12, 2023. The message title is This Child is Okay. And the scripture passage is from Book of Job, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Today, we are having a special service to bless our small children. 12 children of the ages between 2 and 5 years old will stand before you, and after they are called by their names, all of us will pray for God's blessings upon them. I will appreciate if you pray with me. Let us read from the book of Job, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When the period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. Since today we are celebrating children's blessings in the service, I would like us to think about raising children from the book of Job instead of our regular Ephesians study. When we think about the book of Job, we immediately remember Job's unspeakable sufferings, and we do not make a connection with it for raising children. I did not think or imagine there was any important teaching about raising children in the book of Job before. But a few years ago, during the study for the early morning prayer meeting, I renewed my understanding about Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 that we have just read. The passage is the introduction about Job, which I had read many times before, but it moved my heart with renewed feelings, particularly verse 5. Job chapter 1, verse 5. When the period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. I was moved by Job's act recorded here that he was always doing for his beloved children. Job, as described in verse 3, was the most powerful, important person, authority, and the richest man in the society of his time. What he did likely moved society, and he was admired and was a model to a target to be. In the current society, where IT technology moves the world to produce fortunes, he is like a Sam Altman of OpenAI, Sundar Pichai of Google, Elon Musk of Tesla, Jeff Bezos of Amazon, or Mark Zuckerberg. In Japan, maybe he was like Mr. Yanai of Uniqlo, who is the richest man in Japan, Mr. Takizaki, the number 2, and Mr. Son of SoftBank, the number 3. Job only had the wealth, but he was also a faithful, honest. Job not only had the wealth, but he was also a faithful, honest, God-fearing person who voluntarily helped the weak and the poor to provide and share his wealth. That is why he was respected by the people. Job had everything that could be hoped for in this world. Job, who was envied by the people, prayed for each of his children, interceded for the sins of his individual children, worshipped God the Lord with his children. What impressed me the most was that he woke up early in the morning to slaughter his livestock to offer to God for his children. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, meaning that he offered at least 10 livestock. You might not be familiar with slaughtering livestock. It is a heavy work to slaughter one sheep, even one sheep or cow, with no machine. On top of that, the method described in the Bible required to shed the blood of the livestock. It is not like the method employed by Mongolian nomads who do not at all shed the blood when slaughtering, but to shed plenty of blood. It was blood smelling. Skins are removed, the body was cut into parts, internal organs were taken out, firewoods were prepared, and all had to be burnt out. He repeated this for 10 livestock. It was exhausting work. He did this act of faith by gathering all his spirit, energy, physical strength, and wealth in all his sincerity and heart to lead his children to faith. He did not always devote himself to think in what form he could effectively inherit his huge property to his children, how to educate his children to become worthy to succeed the property, how to raise his children to continue to live in the society as men and women of power. But he considered very important for his children to be connected with God. He devoted himself for it. He gave his time for it, and he invested his private property for it. As a parent, as an adult, and as a Christian, Job considered most important to connect children to the true God, Jesus Christ. We can feel that Job deeply understood how serious it is for a person not to be connected with God from Job's words, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." We often say that children are like angels. I imagine angels with wings in their backs, which is an influence of fairy tales, but Job was different. Not only are all children born with many good things and abilities created in the image of God, but they are also born sinners that can negate all of those good things and abilities. There are also sinners whose countdown to death, the wage of sin, begins from the moment they are born. They naturally sin just like the water runs from upstream to downstream, and they are dead in their sins of living according to the desires of our flesh and hearts. Job understood all those, and for him, the best way for his children to participate in God's salvation was to connect them to the true God and faith in Jesus Christ. Job considered it most important to lead his children to faith, who were born immature mentally, physically, and spiritually. As we live surrounded by things, laws, organizations, values, and worldviews created by humans, it is natural for even Christians to believe that it is a blessing for our children to equip them with these things. Faith comes second, and we are tempted to first make our children acquire things that will be appreciated by the world, and we are led to believe that this will make our children happy. But don't we already know that truth? Those things never make our children happy. There are a lot of words out there lamenting the current times, but on the other hand, I personally think that we are living in a very good times. So in what ways are these times good? I feel like people have realized that they are hungry for the truth, longing for the real thing, and that materials and events cannot satisfy people's hearts and fundamental needs, and they cannot light up the light deep within their souls. In this sense, now is the era that I think is a good time. The modern society we live in is, in a sense, a world that has come full circle. We thought we would become happy once we are out of material poverty to become material rich, but that is not the case. We thought there would be no better happiness than eating to fill our stomach, but that is not the case. We thought we would become happy once we all receive high-level education by establishing an environment where everyone can, as much equally as possible, receive high-level education, but that is not the case. We thought we would become happy if we can become number one in any field, whether academics, sports, management, or politics, but that is not the case. We thought it would be so nice if the society becomes a futuristic cyber society filled with man-made things after weeding out nature, controlling it, and conquering it, but that is not the case. We thought we would become happy if we get out of the country to the city, or if we make many city worlds to escape the countryside, but that is not the case. We thought medical development would make us happy, but it does not seem so. We thought scientific development would make us happy, but that is not the case. We thought we would become happy if we energize us with alcohol. We immerse ourselves in pleasures that our flesh and greed desire, but that is not the case. We thought we would become happy if we keep ourselves busy with and pursue all kinds of arts like music, theater, dance, paintings, sculptures, movies, anime, but that is not the case. We thought in any case we would become happy if we can make ourselves immersed in the hobby we like as much as possible, but that is not the case. We thought that if we infiltrated society with a certain ideology and built a new society, we would be happy, but that is not the case. We thought that if we started a war and won in the name of justice and peace for our people, we would be happy, but that is not the case. We live in a time when we thought that if we broke away from the old-fashioned customs and religions that we had been clinging to and pursued what seemed right in our own eyes, we would be blessed with happiness, but that is not the case. We live in a time when society and the world as a whole are covered in the mist-like feeling as if we had done everything we can as humans. Still, instead of thinking about breaking out of that cycle, we find ourselves in that haze, holding a light in our hand and pointing it at the haze, not really seeing it. However, we think as if we can see the path at the end of the light. We convince ourselves that we can see it, and we grope our way through a place where we know there is nothing, even though we do not understand it very well. We live in an era where we look at small artificial lights to comfort ourselves and where we try to console ourselves. This is the world we live in now, with the end of the world so close. It is said that the number of suicides in Japan has exceeded 30,000 for a long time and has now decreased down to about 20,000. But this number of human death in the indescribable painful situation is far beyond the 12,000 people who have died due to the conflict between Israel and Hamas lately. The war is not someone else's issue that is happening in a country in the Middle East that is far away from Japan, where we have never been before. In this country, in Japan, there is an extremely fierce spiritual war is going on between knowing and not knowing the true love of God. We live in a time when we are tired of walking in the fog. We are lost, and we feel limited in our ability to console ourselves. However, we are living in a good era in that the chaos is obvious at a glance, and we can feel the chaos firsthand. This is because this feeling has a great potential to create a longing for the true light, a longing for the true light that will clear away the haze. There seems to be a tendency for the church and Christians themselves to say that the mission is not progressing and the faith cannot be passed on, but that is not the case. Now is the perfect opportunity. Now is the time when it is easy to highlight the value of Jesus Christ, who came as the true light that destroys darkness and the light of humanity. Of course, Jesus Christ is the light in any age, but in this end time era, it is a light that deserves to become even clearer, more exposed, and brought to light. In such a situation, what we as adults are entrusted with is to share our faith with our children. It is about talking about Jesus Christ. The goal is for people to see the true image of people walking by believing in Jesus Christ, thanks to their father being the most powerful man in the world. Job's children were able to live as if they had all the world in their hands, not suffering from poverty, living together as brothers and sisters, and having feasts in turn. However, Job did not accept that as a good thing. He seriously thought of dangers of thereby forgetting God, forgetting that they were sinners and become cursers of God, forgetting to praise God, forgetting to pray to God, forgetting to store up God's words, forgetting to worship God, forgetting to love God, forgetting to love others, forgetting to know people's pain and to forgive, forgetting to empathize, forgetting to share, but living only for themselves and living according to the desires of their hearts. He taught his children that no matter how enviable a life may be, a life that is not centered on God was a curse. And he prayed for his children. He prayed all the time, so much so that he even sacrificed 10 livestock for his children, even though he was covered in blood. We have 4 children at home, and not only the 12 children attending today's infant blessing ceremony, but also the children ranging from newborn babies to elementary school students, junior high school students, high school students, university students, graduate study students, and working adults. As a pastor of a church where many children gather, I am challenged by Job's way of life, values, and beliefs. After this, all of Job's 10 children suddenly died in the hands of God. But because Job was doing the best he could for his children as a parent and as an adult, which was to connect them to God, even though he experienced indescribable sadness, he was able to reach the peace of knowing that he was able to farewell his children from the current life like a temporary journey to a far better heavenly home, an eternal home in the bosom of God. Job spoke of the peace in a famous passage in Job chapter 1, verse 21. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Job taught his children that our lives are not complete in this visible world, but rather that life in this world is only for a moment, and that there is eternity, and that there is salvation to enter into it. Job knew that what would bring light to the eyes of his children in the chaotic world was knowing and believing that there is a life that is not completed in this imperfect, absurd world, but a life that is connected to a perfect, perfectly reasonable world that that embodies love. And he taught this to his children. We have long shared the belief that children are raised by the whole village, and Megumi Church is also a Megumi village where we all nurture and raise children. From infants to elementary school students, junior high and high school students, and young adults, a community like this, where many children of all ages gather in the same place every week, have the same purpose, spend the same time, and interact with each other, is rare in modern Japan and is extremely valuable. I believe that it is an asset and that it is possible because of the love of Jesus. One of the major characteristics of the church, which is called the body of Christ, is that it has children, but the Israelites who lived in the wilderness, who can be said to be the prototype of our church, also had many children. I would like us to take a look at some Bible passage that command teaching, education, and admonition for these children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 25. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oath in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. For the Lord your God, who is among you, is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not put the Lord your God to the test, as you did at the Massah. Be assured to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you, and you may go in and take over the good land the Lord promised on earth to your ancestors, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. In the future, when your son asks you, "What is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you?" tell him, "We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, a great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised on earth to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness." I forget what kind of book it was, but there were words in it from a Christian parent who had a child, and those words left a deep impression on me. What he said was, "Belief is something that each person freely chooses, so I don't teach or share my faith with my children, and it's something they should decide for themselves as adults." It is true that faith cannot be forced, and it is God's grace. So what this person is saying sounds like it. However, the Bible commands, not only do you teach your children to love the one God and heed his words, but you also do your best to have God's words etched in their hearts. I'm commanding, because that is where happiness lies. It's for us to be happy forever and to keep us alive. The purpose of establishing Manna Nursery School is not to provide good education or child care. The purpose of its establishment is to pass on the faith to children. In order to plant and inculcate the Word of God into the tender hearts of the children, we have worship services, memorized scriptures, and songs of the Word of God. This includes good education and child care. Good education and child care do not require worship, memorization of scriptures, or praise. Instead, good education and child care naturally follow the purpose of passing on the faith as a result. Morino Gakuen, or Kira Kira Service, and Karashidane, all these services at this church are on the inheritance of faith as the foundation of their operations, whether directly or indirectly. There is a famous book called Boundaries, and its author, Henry Cloud, says the followings in another book. "A healthy person is one who can see who God is and has the ability to love him, obey him, and fulfill the role that is appropriate for him under God." And God designed the process of equipping children with such ability by beginning with child raising. God has given adults the task of nurturing children to remember God and to stand where they should stand before God. Furthermore, he says the following: the purpose of a child's education is to resemble the character of Jesus. I think that is a great word, because this purpose is missing. It is empty. The purpose of education is not to leave behind achievements or live a good life, but to become like the character of Jesus. As I mentioned before, the purpose of education after the Industrial Revolution was to develop human resources who would be useful to the industry. Until then, children had been exploited as labor, but in order to prevent the number of jobs for adults from decreasing due to industrial mechanization, a law was created to prohibit children from working. On the surface, they say it is to protect children, but their true purpose was for the convenience of the adults. The compulsory education system was created for these children who had nowhere else to go. However, the purpose of this education is to develop human resources who will be useful to industry. The goal is to develop human resources who can rationalize, streamline, increase efficiency, and eliminate waste. Accompanying children's hearts is tedious and secondary. Children and people who do not meet the purpose are excluded. Even today, children who are exploited and screened for the business of education are losing their minds. However, the purpose of education, according to the Bible, is to make children like the character of Jesus and restore God's character. The Bible promises, if you set this as the purpose of education, all other good things will naturally follow. Education that loses the words of the Bible and God's words will end up leaving nothing but emptiness. Now that we are living in a world that has come full circle, what we most need is the education on faith that Job provided. This education is the best education that we as parents and adults can give to our children. Lastly, let me tell you about a senior pastor whom I respect. This senior pastor's father was also a pastor, graduated from the most prestigious university, and was a successful businessman. But when his father was in his mid-40s, he suddenly closed his business, as God called him, and went to a seminary, became a pastor, and he did a great work. Although this senior pastor's big brother did not become a pastor, he was good at his study and passed the entrance exam to the prestigious university that his father attended. The senior pastor I'm talking about was finally in his third year of high school, and although his entrance exams were approaching, he was not as good as his father or his big brother, and he still studied in his own way, despite the pressure. Unfortunately, he failed to enter the same university. The pastor's father was worried about his son and opened the door to his son's room, where he had been shut up alone after receiving the news that he had failed the exams, thinking that his son might be disappointed, depressed, and in bed. Apparently, his son was weeping, praying, and offering praise to God in his room. When the father saw this, he thought, this child will be fine, because this child is firmly connected to Jesus. Instead of looking at your child who has been rejected by a godless education system and worrying, will this child be okay? How fortunate it would be if we can also make the same confession, this child is okay, because he or she, the child, is connected to God. Job always did this because he wanted to say to all his 10 children that you are fine. Let us pray.